The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You're tuned in to Monday's edition of the podcast where we're racing at Fakenham, Southall and Wolverhampton. So do join us from 1:50pm on William Hill Racing Radio to catch all of the action. Before that, however, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on today's edition of the podcast is Ollie Pimlott to take a look at some of the betting. How are you today, Ollie?
Yeah, I'm in very good form, thank you, Sam.
Good stuff. Fresh from Castleford, making you sweat a little bit on Thursday night.
Yeah, I had a big bet on Castleford plus 12. I thought St Helens were a bit vulnerable after being nilled last weekend in the NRL Super League showpiece, which didn't tend to be much of a showpiece when they got beat 42-0 by the South Sydney Rabbitohs. So yeah, I'd had a big bet on the Castleford on the handicap. Unfortunately, a second to last minute try.
That's the way to win
the deal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we can have a similar look with Monday's racing, which we'll get to in due course. We'll start with a roundup of the weekend's action. And Sound Investments shone at the weekend, winning Greatwood Gold Cup over at Newbury. What did you make of them?
Yeah, another really impressive performance from a Paul Nicholls horse on a Saturday. Fantastic record in the race. 7 winners in the last 10 years in the Greatwood. And it was an incredibly good performance, tipped by price-wise. All the money was down in the morning for it, well back 7-2 favourite. And he couldn't have done it anymore. I do believe it's going for the Topham now, or Sandown on the last day of the season. It's going to miss Cheltenham, it looks like.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be any threat to any of the festival markets. Obviously, we had a couple of festival movers yesterday, and what was quite a quiet day, obviously, leading up to the festival, the final 2 weeks, I suppose, barring Imperial Cup Day, which we are sponsoring this year, is a 100-grand bonus. On offer for the winner of that if they follow up at this festival. But a few Potemps movers. Batavere was the 8-1 joint favourite for the Potemps final at the festival, but he was last of the 6 runners at Donny. But there was a huge mover in Call of Cops who won the very same race for Andrew Tinkler and Nicky Henderson, and he's 10s from 25s with us here at Hills for the Potemps. He was really impressive. He did look like the step up to 3 miles would suit him, and it didn't half suit him. He absolutely bolted up. So, yeah, that's an interesting contender in the Potemps.
Yeah, certainly is. And just move on to one of yesterday's other top performers, Wayward Prince, winning the Grimthorpe Chase at Doncaster. I had him in the office sweepstake for last year's national, so it's come a year too late for me. But good to see him back amongst the
And you couldn't have had him in a month of Sundays, because I know Dougie Costello quite well, and he went all the way to Exeter from Malton to ride him, for him to pull up after only about going halfway last time out. Robbie Dunn took over yesterday, and as I say, he could have been 50-1. You wouldn't have had a penny on him. And he's a bit of an in-and-out performer, isn't he? He's won the Grade 1 Sefton Novices Hurdle at Aintree when he was trained by Ian Williams. He was third in the RSA. He's placed in a couple of Charlie Hall chases, and he completely bounced back to form yesterday. Looks like he's going to maybe head to the Scottish National now, but he wouldn't be carrying my money next time, it has to be said. But it's good to see an old veteran like him bounce back and win a valuable pot. Decent prize money on offer, $32,000 to the winner yesterday.
Yeah, certainly was. Good to see him back amongst the wins at Doncaster. Elsewhere then, front page of the Racing Post this morning, Oliver Sherwood talking up the chances of many clouds in the Gold Cup. Obviously, we're seeing a lot of trainers now come out and talk up their horses. What do you make of many clouds for the Gold Cup? I quite like the look of him personally.
Yeah, we got a lot of really good second season chasers in the field. The worry is maybe he fell in the festival last year, but the Hennessy form is always the strongest handicap running either England or Ireland. We've already seen a lot of winners come out of that, no more so than Jacques Adam, who bolted up in the Faistes a little bit later in the season, albeit you couldn't see most of it in the fog. But he went in really impressively at Leopardstown yesterday. If you watched the gallops, he was more than impressive, along with Under So. So it's always very strong form, the Hennessy. I think we've seen about 6 winners come out of the race who flopped on the day. It was very heavy going, and come out and won since. I just think he might not have enough toe. We hardly ever, if ever, see a soft ground festival. I'd be surprised if it did turn up on Gold Cup Day. that would be the worry for me. He just might not have enough toe. But as you mentioned in the paper, he'd run for a brick wall for you. He is very, very gutsy, this horse. But he's had a hard season, Sam. The majority of the contenders, the likes of Lord Windermere, last year's winner, have had their season completely aimed solely at the Cheltenham Gold Cup, whereas I wouldn't say it's an afterthought for many clouds, but if you'd have said at the start of the season he'd be second favourite for the Gold Cup, you'd have probably had a little chuckle to yourself, wouldn't you? Because there's plenty of second season chasers in there, the likes of Road to Riches. Again, he's a similar one. He won the Galway Plate, but when he got turned over by size in Europe the day before the Arc, at quite a short price, if you'd have said he was third favourite for the Gold Cup, you would have laughed as well, wouldn't you? So there's lots of up-and-coming horses in the field. I just think he might come up a little bit short on the ground.
Yeah, OK, fair enough. It's 3-1 then for Sylvain Iacocconti for the Gold Cup. Many Clouds, 8-1. 9-1 Road to Riches. Hollywell, 10s. Carlingford Lock, 11s. Do you have a fancy for the Gold Cup at this stage, Ali?
Yeah, I'm keen on Lord Windermere.
At 12-1?
Yeah. Won the RSA the previous year, won the Gold Cup last year. I think Davy Russell kicked for home a little bit too soon at Leopardstown, where he's got a poor record. And I think he blew up that day somewhat as well. I think the sole aim has been the Gold Cup. Jim Colossi, we know he can aim for this race, having done it with the RSA and the Gold Cup now. But the stable form would be a worry. Not had a winner since April, albeit from a limited number of runners. But yeah, I'm still keen on Lord Windermere to go close.
Okay, fair enough. Anything else then catching the eye ahead of Cheltenham just before we move on? We're only 9 days away now from the start.
Yeah, interesting to see Frankie Dettori went down to Ditchit to oversee Dodging Bullets, who of course he bred. And I'm very, very keen on Dodging Bullets in what is a wide open champion chase this year. I can't have Sprinter Sacra at all. I'd be surprised if he placed, never mind won. Saïd Agrouji will have had 3 hard races in the space of a month when and if he turns up in the Gold Cup, in the champion chase. Obviously, he was impressive, giving a hell of a lot of weight to a not bad horse at Chepstow last time, but 3 hard races in the space of a month would slightly worry me. I think he's a good price. I think he should be favourite Dodging Bullets, the Tingle Creek winner.
All right, yeah, fair enough then. The Queen Mother, at the time of recording, it's 3-1 for Sprinter Sacra. Saïd Agrouji, 130. 9-2 Dodging Bullets. Champagne Fever, 6-1. 8's about Mr. Mole. Double figure prices or bigger. The rest, we'll take a look at Monday then, I think, Ollie. Some modest racing, to say the least, on Monday.
Yeah, it's not the best, let's be honest about it. At the day of recording, it's not the best either here in William Hill Towers with Sedgefield and Navanon. But we're going to do the first 3 races at Fakenham. So we're going to do the 2 o'clock, the 2:30 and the 3 o'clock. Obviously, we're waiting on non-runners, etc., etc. Tony McCoy looks to have a good book of rides on today's card. And I think I'm going to go with him in the first. Lion's Charge. He's still a maiden after 18 starts. This is only his second start for Neil Mulholland, where he was maybe somewhat a little bit disappointing behind Ben and Donna, but that could well have been a pipe opener. He was rated as high as 67 on the flat at one point. He's 8 years old now, and this is only his second start to hurdles. So he's coming to the game fairly late, cheek piece and tongue tie on, but Neil Mulholland's team continue to be in fine fettle. Very positive jockey booking with AP McCoy. It's a handicap 0 to 100, and he is the top weight off a mark of 100, and on some of his Irish form, you'd have to say that was fair enough. So, only a second start for Neil Mulholland, very positive jockey booking with AP McCoy, in what looks a very thin race indeed. Bath County was a previous winner last time, but that was off a very lowly mark. He runs off £5 higher today, off 87. James Banks takes 3 off, but he's your favourite, and with off a mark of 87, it's a very weak race, Sam. So I'm going to go Lion's Charge here to get the champ off to a good start.
Okay, Lion's Charge then for Ali in the first of the day at Fakenham. We'll move then to the 2:30. This one is a novice's hurdle over the extended 2-mile trip. It's a Class 4 event with 7 of them lining up to contest it. Who do you like?
Yeah, a horse who's ran once, an unseated rider on his first start. This is Needless Shouting for Nick McShannon, who's got a number of horses over the jumps now. It's another horse who is going to be ridden, I think, by AP McCoy today. A unseated rider, first time out at Doncaster, but he was in with a chance behind Devilman. AP rode him that day, the Ferguson horse. He won very impressively by 4.5 lengths, but he was right there. In with the Shouting was Needless Shouting. He was in second when he blundered seated rider 4 out, but wasn't under pressure that day. And for a horse in Devilman who's going to the festival, this is somewhat a weaker race. He's only had the one start, so he is unexposed. So Needless Shouting for me. Conor O'Farrell takes the ride. Bottom weight off 10 stone 7. A number of these haven't run, the likes of Response, who AP rides for Steve Gollings, Aviator for James Eustace and Jack Quinlan, Ash Coon, who's only had the one start. So there's a number of unexposed types, but certainly Needless Shouting brought a flat rating of 73 at his best, so not a bad mark to start off with. He gets the age allowance, only 10 stone 7, and I thought it was a really encouraging start behind Devilment. When he unseated with just a couple to go, went in with, I wouldn't have said he'd have beat Devilment that day, but he was in with a shout. So Needless Shouting for me in the second is a fair enough price. I think he'll go off around about the 2-1 mark.
Okay, fair enough. Needless Shouting in that one then. Yeah, as you mentioned, Devilment second favourite for the Fred Winter, so not bad form going into that race. Coming up at 3 o'clock then at Fakenham, the last race on today's podcast, we have a handicap chase over 2.5 furlongs. Five of them will line up to go to post in this class four. Who makes the appeal out of this quintet, Ollie?
Yeah, of all the three races, I think this is going to be the most obvious one to Kerryman. Yeah, he's likely to go off at an odds-on favourite, but David Bridgewater's team continue in excellent fettle. I think he's top of the hot trainers list at the minute. David Bridgewater, I think he's won four of the last five runners have all won for him, and this looks like another one. He was one of the four of the five, was De Kerryman, won last week. He's got a £7 penalty, but likely to go up a good deal more for that win at Fakenham last time, where he was eads towards the finish. He was a well-backed 11-8 second favourite. He did go up £8 for his win previously under a different trainer when Sam Jones rode him at Warwick, but gone to David Bridgewater now. That's going to be, you'd have to think he'd improve on Mrs. KO. I'd got up £8 for that win at Fontwell, but only a £7 penalty to contend with here is going to go up even more so for that. So De Kerryman, going to be a short price favourite. But your second favourite here, Wishing a Well, has been a little bit out of form. Only 4th of 9 at Plumpton, where it was well beaten. 17.5 lengths, and it was beaten 25 lengths at the start of this month. Admittedly, this is a career low mark that it runs off today. Was running off 113, has dropped £6 the handicap. But De Kerryman is an in-form rival for an in-form stable. Tom Scudamore continues to ride excellently, and he's going to take all the beating. So I'd be looking at the De Kerryman of the three. He'd certainly be looking at banker material.
Okay, fair enough then, Ollie. Taking De Kerryman to follow up and complete his hat-trick in the 3 o'clock at Fakenham. If you could just summarise then, please, for us, your three picks for Monday from Fakenham, Ollie.
Yeah, the first race, 2 o'clock at Fakenham, I'm going to go with the lightly raced over hurdles Lions Charge. Second race for Neil Mulholland, and AP McCoy takes the ride. And the second, I'm going for Needless Shouting, another horse who's only having his second start over hurdles for Mick Shannon and Conor O'Farrell. And probably the strongest bet of the three, admittedly, is going to be a short price, De Kerryman, in the 3 o'clock at Fontwell.
Okay, excellent stuff then. There we are, the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott ahead of Monday's racing at Fakenham. We're also at Southall and Wolverhampton, and you'll hear every race live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. on Monday afternoon. So do join the team then for all of that. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today, Ollie, and good luck with those bets on Monday.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Sammy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.